Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. And this morning we'll be thinking about the kingdom and the king. The kingdom and the king. In verse 20, it's written, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within." Or more specifically, "The kingdom of God is among you." You'll notice in verse 20 that the scriptures tell us that the Pharisees demanded of Jesus. Now they demanded that Jesus answer a question or give them specifically all of the things that involve the kingdom of God coming. And as you look at the context, you'll remember that Jesus had healed 10 lepers, and that only one had turned back and given Jesus thanksgiving for what had been done to them. And I pointed out that this is not an unusual circumstance, that oftentimes we do not give God the glory nor thank him for what he's done for us. But as they saw this miracle, and as they look back on the things that had been done by Jesus since he had started his ministry on earth, they realized that there had to be some connection with what he was doing and the kingdom of heaven. And so this evidently precipitated enough inquisitiveness about them that they finally decided to speak to him plainly, forthrightly, and ask him the specifics about the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what the word demanded means. It means to question, to ask specifically. And they did. And they asked a very specific question: when the kingdom of God, when will it come? And then Jesus gave them an answer, and the answer specific. He did exactly what they asked him to do. And his answer is this: the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And that's a rather strange statement. Here, we have been talking about all of the prophecies concerning the kingdom of God as they're found in the Old Testament. And now Jesus tells the Pharisees, you cannot tell about the kingdom of God by close watching. That is, an observing beside or near, accurate watching, constant observation, to have an eye near, to watch closely with superstition or sinister intent. And maybe that's the definition we need to give to the word observation. Jesus said, watching for the kingdom of God with a superstitious mind or a sinister intention will not bring it into being. You know, I thought of this situation. I believe the Bible teaches that when we gather together here, that each member of this church is a living stone, and that we erect a temple unto the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our midst. That's very plain. It's taught in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 19 through 21, I believe. But I don't know that any of you have ever set up an observation tower to see how that would happen and if it really did happen. Because the Holy Spirit would not come with our intensive observation or close scrutiny. You know, this is sort of a microcosm of the whole world right here this morning. And I mean that in the sense that we all have different views of life and we all have different jobs. We all have different circumstances and situations. And you know, if people walked in here this morning with the idea of seeing the Holy Spirit, they would look and look and look. They would not see it. But I believe that He's present exactly like the Scriptures tell us. And that gives us some kind of an indication that in the very midst of everything that's going on, God is. And I'm just making observation this morning myself. You know, we're here, and I dare say that I would not ask for everyone's thoughts to be on the board, including mine. You know, we're sitting here, some of you thinking about barbecue and whatever, and some of you thinking about left the house. You know, need to get home, get it cleaned up. And you're thinking, what are you saying? I'm not saying that's evil. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying we're human beings, and in the midst of all this stuff, of this small congregation of people, God is doing what He said He would do. Now, you can't close your mind off and not think about other things. I realize that. But we need to understand that God is not going to arrange a spectacular thing and He Himself come in an envelope of fire so that we can just all sit back and be awed by everything that's happening. One of the things that marks our age is the spectacular visible effects that people have been able to accomplish through computer-generated things. It's just amazing. I know people talk about what Matrix Reloaded and all of the stuff, and I haven't seen it, and I won't see it unless they show it for free somewhere, and I'm sitting in my easy chair, okay? If I can punch it up on the clicker, I'll probably see it. Otherwise, forget it. But I understand sound effects and all of the things that intrigue people, the motion, and people are just astounded by this. And this is the way things have always been. People weren't able to imitate it, but they're always looking for the dynamic, the spectacular, the overwhelming. And these people demanded of Jesus, when is the kingdom of God going to come? And Jesus said, not with this close scrutiny that you people are thinking about and having in your mind, because they have just seen 10 lepers who cry out to Jesus when He comes into their little village, Lord, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were all cleansed. What else can you ask for? And they're saying, now, what can we look for that'll give us some indication that the kingdom of God has come or will come? And Jesus said, well, it's not going to come with this close scrutiny that you people are talking about. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is among you. And that is, if we're sitting here and all of a sudden you say, oh, there's the Holy Spirit. Lo, here he comes. It isn't going to happen that way. You know why? Because he's already here. The Holy Spirit is not going to come and dwell in our midst. He's not going to do that. Do you know why? Because he's already here. And you're saying, well, if the Holy Spirit is here, why would the babies cry? Or why would I have a headache? Or why would I be thinking about grilling my burgers? Well, see, that's our problem. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell these people. We're living human beings, and we like to get everything just right and then have something happen. Plan and plan and prepare and then open the door and here it comes. You know, people sort of think that way about love. You know, they're going to get everything together, go out, and they're all dressed up and all this stuff. And finally, when everything's just right, then they're going to fall in love. Well, I can tell you that's not the way it happens. I saw my wife in curlers before I ever married her. I really did. I went to get my ordination papers, and she didn't know I was coming. Her dad was, mom were treasurer and church clerk, a little Baptist church where I went, and she was going to Antioch, and I hadn't seen her, and I went in there. But I fell in love with her with curlers on her hair. You see, all this stuff y'all talking about making you say, it's just not worth it, okay? Jesus was trying to tell these people, I'm the king. I'm the king of Israel, and I am here. And if the king is here, the kingdom is here. It's being offered to you. But you people are not seeing it because you're looking for something else and it isn't going to happen. They were already in the very midst of the kingdom. But you know, life was just going on. People were getting sick. People were dying. People were getting married. Everything was occurring just like it always had. And these people were simply not aware of how God was working in the midst of human activity. You know, sometimes we want everything to shut down, just like an accident shuts the freeway down. Everything shuts down, so now let's worship God. And it's not going to happen. Or everything shuts down and gets really eerie and spectacular, and now the Holy Spirit will come. That's just not the way it works. God, in the dynamics of himself, comes to us in the very midst of our headaches and our frustrations and our angers and our joys and the deaths and the births and the sicknesses and the hunger and the feast. God comes into us, among us, into the very circumstances of life. You can't wait until everything is just right and then say, okay, God, I've confessed my sins, I've been to church, I've given some money, I feel good, everything's working, everything's straightened out, everything's calm, now come in. No, God just comes whenever he pleases in the very midst of all that's going on. And we have to learn to recognize God's presence in the very midst of what's happening in our life and in our church and in our country. The kingdom of God is among you. And then he said to the disciples, you'll notice that he gives a specific answer to a specific demand. They demanded, they asked him, give us specifics about the kingdom of God and when we'll know that it is here. How can we recognize it? What's going to happen? Jesus said, you're already standing in the very middle of it right now. And you're talking to the king. How could the kingdom not be here if the king is here and talking to you? You ought to look around you, look at what's happening, and I'm not going to shut the universe down and bring a million angels to sound trumpets to announce the fact that I'm the king. You should have seen that. You should have realized that. So then he speaks to the disciples. And here's what he says. The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Jesus simply points out that you people, when I am gone, are going to long for the time that you have spent with me and the teaching that I have done for you and the joys that we've shared together. You're going to long for a day that you have, that you can remember, that very special time, and it'll not be here because I'm going back to the Father. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. Jesus is saying people are going to say, after I'm gone, well, there's the Christ, here's a sign of the kingdom, there's a sign of the kingdom. And Jesus said, don't believe that. It's not going to happen. And he said, now here's the way that the kingdom will be instituted. Here's the way that the question that the Pharisees have asked me will be fulfilled. Kingdom of God is not going to come by observation. That is, people's looking at it. You know, we're afraid of some huge object in outer space that's going to come and hit the earth, and people have a fear of seeing it coming, you know, 5 years, 10 years ahead of time, and are saying this thing's on course. 10 years from now, it's going to hit the earth, and there's just going to be an awful reckoning, and we're all going to be killed. The force of it is going to be so tremendous. Half the earth will die, et cetera, et cetera. That's how the dinosaurs went, so some say. Jesus said, it's not going to come that way. It's going to come as lightning. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven and shines under the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now that's what we're looking for now. That's what we're praying for now. When we pray, thy kingdom come, in what's called the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, thy kingdom come, are we talking about the second coming of Christ? We're talking about the setting up of the thousand-year reign or the millennial kingdom. This is what we're looking at. This is what it's going to happen if you're alive and Jesus comes again. This is the way it's going to be. It's going to be like a lightning strike. You're not going to sit around for days and hours and months saying, I know when Jesus is coming and it's going to be this year, this month, whatever. It does not come by observation, but it will come like that, and it'll be over like that. I'm sure you understand that. But first must he suffer. Who's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about himself. But first he must suffer. That is, he must be acted on or acted upon by certain things. This word suffer here doesn't always mean to be in pain, but it does mean to allow things to happen to you. So Jesus is saying, before this lightning strike of my coming to establish my kingdom occurs, there has to be, first of all, some things acted upon me. I have to submit myself to some things. I have to allow some things to happen. He has to be allow many things to happen and be rejected of this generation. The generation, of course, are the Jews who are living at that particular time. The word reject means to examine closely and then turn away from it. Jesus is saying, I've got to allow a number of things to happen to me before this lightning strike appearance comes. And one of them is, I'll be examined by the Jews that are living now. They'll examine my life. They'll examine my sayings. They'll examine my miracles and whatever. And then they'll say, but I do these things by the power of Satan rather than doing them by the power of God. And they will set me aside. They will reject me and cry out for my death. And then Jesus gives two illustrations together in order to describe life on earth just prior to the lightning strike of his coming again. And he uses circumstances that these Pharisees and the disciples understand very well. Why? Because it comes out of the history of the Jews. The first thing that Jesus uses are the days of Noah. Notice, verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now here's the way it was in the days of Noah. They did eat. There's nothing evil about eating. So don't look for evil things particularly in this. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What is Jesus trying to teach these people? He's trying to teach them that in the days of Noah, everything was going along just fine. Now, Noah was preaching and warning them about a flood, and Noah was building an ark, but it had been going on for hundreds of years, literally, and nothing had happened yet, and so familiarity had bred contempt. So these people just ignored what was going on. And they ate and they drank and they married and they were given in marriage. Things were just like they always were. And the very day that Noah went into the ark and the door was sealed by Almighty God, then the judgment came upon the earth and the people, so the scriptures tell us, were destroyed. Now that's the way it'll be when the lightning strike comes of the second coming of Christ. You're not going to be sitting there thinking about it. You're not going to be sitting there praying about it. You're not going to be looking out the window thinking, oh my, I wonder if this is the day Jesus comes. No, because Jesus, you won't have time to even think about it. It'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll be suddenly, it'll be like the striking of lightning. Likewise, or in the same fashion, in the same manner, verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, Abraham's nephew. What were they doing in the days of Lot? Sodom and Gomorrah days. Well, it really isn't talking about the evil of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's talking about the thoughtlessness. The same old, same old. The alarm clock goes off at the same time every day. You get up and the coffee's made. You drag yourself into the shower and you get your clothes on and you go. And your mind is just centered in the things that you have to do in order to make a living, to have your business go, to get your education for your profession. All this just, again, is the same old. People are honking as they want you to move a little bit faster and you're aggravated because you are being held up by someone in front of you. Same old. Life goes on. Life gets tedious as the sands of the so-and-so and so-and-so soap opera. What about Lot? Well, they did eat. They drank. We're not talking about getting drunk, just plain old eating the food, drinking the water, whatever. They bought things. They sold things. They planted and they builded. But notice, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now look at verse 30 for your application of what he said about the days of Noah and what he said about the days of Lot. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And the word reveal means the curtain is pulled back. The apocalypse, the same word is translated revelation, as for the book of Revelation. When the revelation occurs, when the people that crucified Jesus in a different form are, they look upon him whom they have crucified. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In other words, your question answered is this. You guys are so unspiritual that you haven't realized that the King is here and you're standing in the midst of the kingdom. Now you're going to reject me, and I've got to suffer many things, and I'll be crucified. Jesus taught his people this. But I'll be buried, and then I'll rise again the third day. And I'm going to leave you people as an institution on this earth to preach and teach and witness and worship me in the capacity of the church like we are right now. And there'll be prophecies and statements, and there were about his first coming. There'll be indications, but they're not going to give us the exact day or the exact hour. But one day, it'll just be, and he'll be here. Now, he gives some indications of what all you can do about it. In verse 31, he says, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, and you can't have a garage sale, okay? And you're going to have time for that. Let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. And verse 32, remember Lot's wife. In other words, don't long for what you're leaving. Be anticipating what you're getting. I can just picture, you know, we talk about the rapture, people living and the rapture comes. I can imagine some, I'll go with the men first. You know, here's a guy being raptured right off the earth like that, and he's going right out into this whole space, expansive thing, and he's thinking, gee, I didn't get the yard mowed. Oh, the wife said, you know, the beds weren't made here. He's going, you know, a jillion miles an hour right out into space to meet God. And there's Jesus there. And he's thinking, I didn't get everything ready. Don't look back, folk. It's, you know, if you didn't do it, forget it, okay? It's over with when Jesus does that. Forget it. You're not ever going to get it done. You say, I didn't balance the book. Checkbook isn't bad. Don't worry about it. Be all right, okay? If I'd known Jesus was coming, I'd taken a shower. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with it. And people said, you know, I sure hope I'm not in a tavern drinking when Jesus comes. Well, you know, well, it won't make any difference. He knows you're there now. In other words, just forget, and I don't mean this in a, I mean get ready to meet Jesus and stay ready. Okay, get ready and stay ready, because when he comes, you'll not have time to get ready. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. There, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And you know, there's a lot of books written about left behind. And spiritually immature people have made false prophets wealthy. reading about the ones that are left behind. You know, there is an 8-volume deal on Left Behind. I'm not, you know, the disciples didn't ask about the ones that were left behind. They answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" That is, where will the ones that are taken be? Okay? So I'm not interested in the ones left behind. I'm interested in the ones that are going to be taken, because I'll be the ones, be one of the people that's taken. So I'm not worried about left behind because there's no information about it. You know, how could you write all these novels about Left Behind when there's not a single drop of information about what happens to the people that are left behind? I just challenge you to read the Word of God and find out. You say, "Well, I could imagine." Sure, that's where you find this information, in your imagination. They wanted to know what's going to happen. And he said, "Well, when I come, the lightning strikes, there are going to be some people left behind. There are going to be some people taken. And to be taken simply means that you're willing to give your life to Christ and not try to protect it and save it for yourself." They answered and said unto him, "Where?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." And I really believe that Jesus was quoting Scripture and quoting from the oldest book in the Old Testament, probably, and that is the book of Job. And I want to read that because I think it helps us understand what Jesus was explaining in Job to them. Job 39. Verse 27. Well, look at verse 26. "Doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence she seeks the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood." Now notice, "and where the slain are, there is she." And here's what Jesus said, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." He's actually quoting from the book of Job and telling them, don't you remember the book of Job? Wherever the body is, that's where the eagles are going to be. And Jesus is saying, wherever I am, that's where you're going to be. If you're one of the taken, you will be with me, because that's where I have built you a place. That's where I have prepared, brother, for you a place. Where are we today in this whole concept? Well, Jesus did not establish his kingdom on earth at this time that he was there, because the Jews rejected him and he did suffer many things. Their rejection of him was punished by the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. It was a time, according to Luke, we'll read a little bit later on, it was the time of God's vengeance upon the nation of Israel for having rejected him. The institution of the church, though initially made up of Jews only, was widened by the wisdom and plan of God so that Gentiles were grafted into it, inducted into it, brought into it. Jesus said he would give the kingdom to another nation, another ethnic group, if you please. So we are the witnesses of God today, to witness to people concerning the kingdom of God, to witness to them concerning the King. That's where we are today. That's what we're doing right now. We're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the King. We're talking about getting ready for the kingdom and to be prepared for the lightning strike of the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are his kingdom workers. And if we're dead, when he comes, we will be resurrected. You can read this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. If we are alive, we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's what's going to happen with this lightning strike, second coming, is that the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air. So all of this is going to take place instantaneously, not with observation. Okay. You're not going to be able to analyze what's happening to you at that moment. You're not going to say, oh, look at all the dead going up through yonder. I heard this trump, and there's the dead, there's grandma, there's grandpa, they're all going up. You know, you're not going to be able to analyze anything. You're not going to say, oh, what's happening to me? Looks like I'm changing, you know. No, you'll be changed that quick. It's going to be over. It's going to be over before it ever starts. So I think the real truth we need to learn is that we can't get ready for the second coming with the idea that when it occurs, we'll have some preparation time. It's not going to happen. Get ready for the second coming of Christ. Get ready for the coming of the kingdom now. You're not going to watch the stars and the moon and other things and say, I know exactly when it's coming. Can't do that.